Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Recently, the AAP joined five other health groups in urging the FDA to take immediate action to address the rising use of Juul e-cigarettes among youth. My guest today is Dr. Margaret Steger. She's the director of the Division of Adolescent Medicine at Metro Health Medical Center. Dr. Steger, welcome to the show. Tell us about AAP partnering with the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids and who else was involved, and then we'll talk about what Juul e-cigarettes are.
Absolutely. So, Melanie, thank you for having me on the program. I'm happy to talk about this important topic. So we'll start from the beginning with the American Academy of Pediatrics. Last week, the AAP joined five other organizations. We're going to name them American Heart, American Lung, American Cancer, the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, and also the Truth Initiative. And they sent a letter to the FDA, the commissioner for the FDA, urging them to please take action on the Juul e-cigarette. We have to go back a little bit in time here. The FDA proposed a deeming rule in 2016, which meant it would have had regulation over e-cigarettes. You may know that the FDA has jurisdiction over regular tobacco products. But as the new e-cigarettes came onto the market, the FDA did not have jurisdiction over regulation. Unfortunately, in late 2017, the FDA decided to delay taking action on the e-cigarette and other e-cigarette-like products, claiming that they would like to see more research and data from the manufacturers. This was very upsetting to all of us in the Tobacco Control Advocacy Network. And so the letter was written to the FDA asking for several pieces of action, one including that the Juul e-cigarette be immediately removed from the market, including also the removal of the Juul flavors, such as mango and cool cucumber, suspension of internet sales, and stronger measures to prevent underage Juul sales in regular stores.
Tell us what Juul e-cigarettes are.
A Juul e-cigarette is another type of electronic cigarette. So this entire new industry goes under the moniker Electronic Nicotine Delivery Systems, or ENDS, E-N-D-S. They're known through a variety of names such as vaping pens, vaping, e-cigarettes, e-cigars, e-hookah, but they all have essentially the same principle, which is that the unit or device has a heating element, which then heats up a liquid, which is internal to the device, and inside the liquid typically is nicotine, flavorings, and other chemicals, and when that liquid is heated, it produces a vapor. So it's not a smoke that it produces, but rather a vapor, and then the user then inhales the vapor. But what makes the Juul different from the other products is its design and targeting towards the youth market. So if we were able to show a picture right now of the Juul device, what we'd see is a lean, slim, trim, grayish to black cartridge that looks very similar to a USB jump drive. And the manufacturer has also figured out that if they add flavors to their pods, pods means that what the liquid nicotine is held in, if they add flavors, it would be even more popular. And in fact, that's exactly what's happening. I'll remind everyone that the pod is 5% nicotine, and that if one were to vape the entire pod, that's the equivalent of one whole pack of cigarettes.
Yikes.
Same amount of nicotine. Yep, same amount.
Wow. And so when they have these flavors, and certainly the, you know, tech way it looks, they're really going after basically high school kids, aren't they?
High school kids and maybe even a bit younger, because it's so easy to conceal. Not only is it small in size, but it actually has less vapor than other products. And so what we're hearing from teachers and, frankly, from other students as well, is that kids are vaping in school, kids are vaping in the library, and we're hearing it across the age span as very popular, not only middle school and high school, but we're also hearing about it at the college level as well.
So I would think even based on the way it looks that parents would maybe see it sitting on a kid's desk and not even know what it is.
I think that's a very important point. And so I do urge parents to go to the website, for example, healthychildren.org, and look at pictures at what some of these e-cigarettes look like, including the Juul. But you're right. It has no labeling on it. Absolutely no labeling. And in fact, there is a little piece that one can add to it. The way it's charged is through the USB port.
Wow. So they can just charge it right in the family USB port, wherever there's a computer, and a parent might not even recognize this. So it doesn't have, obviously, the tar. So is it still damaging to lungs?
One of the concerns is we don't have a lot of information about vaping. There is a wide variety of products on the market with respect to e-cigarettes, and there's a wide variety of chemicals also in the liquid flavorings that are in the pods or in the liquid nicotine products. And so, fortunately, we don't have enough information, but we can extrapolate. So, for example, there was a recent study done that found that 39 out of 51 of the e-cigarette products contain a chemical called diacetyl. And the reason why I'm picking this one out in particular is because diacetyl has been found previously to cause lung damage in the factory workers that were working in the microwave popcorn factory. And what happened was that they inhaled the diacetyl because it was aerosolized, and they were having trouble with their lungs. And later the condition was called popcorn lung. And it caused, when the person inhaled the diacetyl, it caused damage to the smallest parts of the lung called the bronchioles. And it caused scarring, it caused thickening, it decreased their air exchange, and the condition was named bronchiolitis obliterans. So one of the concerns we have is not just about the nicotine, which, again, I think we should also talk about, but also some of these chemicals and or flavorings that are also in these products.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. Dr. Steger, I have to ask you, do you feel that the FDA, they're in action on some of these things? Is there a political background in this at all? Is there anything politically motivated on their side for not regulating these? Are you seeing that or not really?
That I can't comment on because the FDA, interestingly enough, last week, after the letter was submitted to the FDA commissioner, the FDA came out with a statement last week, April 24th, that said they are absolutely in support to stop sales to e-cigarettes under youth under the age of 18 years. And in fact, they reviewed that they've done a nationwide undercover operation, like a sting operation, to determine if youth can buy e-cigarettes from local stores. And for the month of April so far, they have found violations and they've issued 40 warning letters.
Wow.
In the states of Maryland, Virginia, and Massachusetts. So in addition, the FDA has asked the Juul manufacturer in particular for their market research and also for their toxicological, behavioral, and physiological effects on the user. And they made it very clear that they want to be a partner in decreasing youth access and youth use of the e-cigarette products.
So that's good to know, and that's reassuring for parents that this isn't something that's become politicized. What else would the AAP like parents to know about this so that we can discuss this with our kids? Because that's really, I think, where so many of these safety concerns for parents come in, is that we have to be able to communicate with our kids. If we don't know what they're doing, we can't help them make those good choices. So how do we find out if our kids are doing it? And what do we say to them if we find out?
Right. And so awareness is a big first step. Just having this conversation and reviewing this information with your audience and with parents around the country is an excellent first step. And I encourage parents, like other high-risk behaviors, to open the conversation. So one way a parent might approach it at the dinner table is, rather than directly saying, hey, are you smoking e-cigarettes? Or are you, what are you doing with e-cigarettes? But one way around it is to say, have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen anyone use one? Do you know anyone who's used one? And that way, the teenager or the high school student doesn't necessarily have to implicate themselves, but you can at least get the conversation started. So that's one tip that I would offer. I think the second most important thing to point out here, absolutely, is that nicotine is addictive. And I'm going to say that again. Nicotine is addictive. And in fact, in 2010, the U.S. Surgeon General said nicotine is as addictive as cocaine and heroin.
Wow.
And most youth are not aware that these products contain nicotine. There was a recent study done that was released online where they asked specifically the users of the Juul product, and they asked them, is there nicotine in the Juul product? And 63% either weren't sure or said, no, there's not. So even the youth aren't aware of what's involved in the vaping. So I think it's really important to not only inquire about possible use, but to talk about the addictive nature of nicotine. And then the third most important point I think that we have to convey to parents here is that now that we're beginning to study patterns of use of e-cigarettes, what's happening at each level, middle school level, high school level, and college level, there's a trend that's emerging. There's two trends that I'd like to point out. The first trend I'd like to point out is that e-cigarettes are now becoming preferred over traditional cigarettes. So as we see, the good news is, as we see the regular cigarette use go down, we're seeing e-cigarette use go up. So it's almost as if it's a trade-off. And the second important trend that's emerging is that if we follow e-cigarette users over time, from 8th grade to 10th grade to 12th grade, what we see is not only do they continue their e-cigarette use, but we also see that they begin to add traditional tobacco products. So they typically start to then add cigarettes.
Wow. So it really can, act as a gateway to the worst product, which would be cigarettes. But we don't want to say that it's necessarily the worst product, because these seem to be pretty bad as well and very deceiving. That's what's so scary for parents, is that these things are deceiving, and for the kids as well. So what else would you like us to know about what we can do to maybe get involved in this FDA, in this letter that the AAP has sent to the FDA? Is there anything we can do to make our voices heard?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Always, advocacy starts at home, right? And so every parent can become their own important voice, whether they advocate on their own or through their state or federal legislator, recommending that the FDA demand and take immediate action. The second thing that I would recommend is the parents can go to a very good website called publichealthlawcenter.org. That's all one word, publichealthlawcenter.org. And when you land on that page, you'll see e-cigarette laws for the entire country. And it's a map. You can click on your state, and you can find out what is the purchasing age for the e-cigarette, and are there any other laws around it? So, for example, I'm in Ohio. The purchasing age is age 18, and currently there's no tax on e-cigarettes. Now, keep in mind, one of the ways we've controlled regular traditional cigarette and tobacco use is we've put tremendous taxes on cigarettes, and there's a clear correlation between, as the taxes go up, the use of traditional cigarettes go down.
Yeah. I mean, that would certainly make sense. And we have these kinds of regulations on traditional cigarettes and on alcohol, kids can't get them under a certain age. And I mean, kids will always find a way to get stuff. But in that case, you know, we should really make our voices heard and we can get involved this way. Wrap it up for us, Dr. Steger, with your most important, really, really important information about these Juulie cigarettes and what we should be doing with our kids and even with the school systems. Because I've heard from my kids, Dr. Steger, that they've seen kids in the bathroom or in the stairways using these. And they just, you know, walk right on by, but it certainly is, you know, pretty popular now.
Yeah. And I think that's what's important is that because it's so discreet, because the vaping emits such little bit of vapor that the kids are getting away with it very, very discreetly in places like school and on sporting events and other school-based events or in libraries, et cetera. What the kids aren't aware of, though, is that they're using an addictive product that unfortunately may lead them down the path to traditional tobacco or cigarette products, which are well established to be associated with many, many serious diseases, including heart disease, lung disease, and cancer. So I think as adults, we have to take the same approach that we did with traditional cigarettes and talk about what are the laws regulating purchasing e-cigarettes? How can you buy it on the internet? What are the safety regulations regarding buying it on the internet? And also considering a campaign to raise the age for buying e-cigarettes from age 18 to 21, which has also been a successful campaign for traditional cigarettes as well.
All of those are excellent, excellent ideas, and I certainly hope that the FDA really takes heed of the AAP's initiative with Tobacco-Free Kids, Truth Initiative, American Lung Association, American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, and the American Heart Association. So hopefully, and parents, really, we need to communicate with our kids, just as Dr. Steger said, at dinner time, ask your kids if they know anyone using these, if they've seen them before, if they've seen them being used at school or at parties, and then get into that discussion of why they're so dangerous and what they can lead to. Because as parents, communication, especially with our teens, I got two of them right now. So I know that communication is absolutely key to knowing what your kids are doing and keeping an eye out for them, because their safety is really mostly what we care about as parents. It's mostly about them being safe and getting through on the other end. So hopefully we will all take action and we'll keep you updated as this progresses. Thank you so much for listening. And Dr. Steger, thank you so much for sharing all this great information with us. Remember, you're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.